Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're in our series called Dug Down Deep. We're going to be talking a little bit about finding the place of intimacy with God. I'm going to be talking about the secret place. I'm going to refer to it as shelter. I'm also going to refer to it as rest, a resting place. But I believe that there's no better person, at least amongst the friends that I know, to talk about rest than my friend, actually, who is the pastor of the senior pastor of our church in Boston, Aletheia Church, Adam Mabry, who wrote the book Art of Rest. I know many of you have read it, and I highly recommend it for you all if you're wanting to expound a little bit more on finding the resting place. I know 2 months ago we talked about rest, and a few of you read the book. With regards to that. So he just wanted to bring an introduction for all of you this morning, all the way from Boston. So thank you.
What's up, Every Nation Brisbane? This is Pastor Adam Mabry coming at you all the way from Boston, Massachusetts, here on my day off. You can probably hear my kids upstairs, and I'm just sitting in my kitchen, reading my Bible, trying to figure out how to do what I said in that book you guys read. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I want to just encourage you, as you are doing the work of the Lord, God does not require of any of his kids overwork and anxiety. It's not something that he asked of Moses. It's not something that he asked of Abram or David. It's not something that he asked of us. He invites us to work with him, not because he needs us, but because he delights to work alongside us. Man, he's like the world's best dad who brings his son out to work on a project, knowing that his son probably is going to slow him down and probably isn't going to add a whole lot to actually accomplishing the task. But in working with his son, they grow closer. My encouragement to you today is that the Lord delights to draw close to you in your work and in your rest. Rest isn't something for the weak. It's not something for the lazy. It's not something for those who aren't on it for the kingdom. Rest is the inheritance of those who actually trust that God is God and we are not. And so as you're considering rest and as you're picking up all the work that God has asked you to do and as you're reaching that great city and caring for your nation, remember, work hard and then rest as those who've already received the finished work of Jesus. I love you. Hopefully would love to come see you sometime. God bless you. Have a great, great day.
Awesome. So just know that we are a part of a movement of churches, almost 600 churches, I think, at last count, and over 80 nations. So our church here is not just independent. We're a part of a spiritual family, and that's one of our that's our cousin from up in Boston, land of the Celtics. So For those of you who have your Bible, let's go to Psalm 27. If you wouldn't mind, let's be upstanding for the in reverence for the reading of God's Word. This is a verse that I touched on about 4 weeks ago, but I'm going to go use it as a foundation and go at it from a different angle. Psalm 27, many of you will know this, and it says here in verse 4, let's all read together. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Father, I thank you today that your desire is for us to rest, that find that resting place in the tent of the shelter of the Most High. So God, I pray, Lord, that you would align us to be able to come into this anxiety-free zone of resting under the shelter of your wings. I want to move out of the way, God. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from Daddy today, from Abba, Father. And so, God, come and speak to your kids. Come and share your love, share your thoughts towards us. We want to hear from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Tyler, my message today is Secrets of the Secret Place. Secrets of the Secret Place. Totally not original with me. In fact, I want to recommend another book. I know I just recommended The Art of Rest. For those of you who haven't read Adam Mabry's book, I highly recommend it. But Secrets of the Secret Place was written by a guy named Bob Sorge, who was somewhat of a guy who leads worship that and writes about worship that I really look up to. Have had the honor of meeting him, and hearing him teach a few times. I'll just briefly tell you about his testimony. He was quite a prominent worship leader back in the 90s to the turn of the new millennium. But what ended up happening is that he ended up contracting a disease around his vocal folds, and then they went to operate on the infection, and the operation went wrong. And unfortunately, he's not able to use the fullness of his voice anymore. When he speaks now, he has to have the volume turned up crazy and have certain frequencies turned down so it doesn't feedback. But it sounds like he's whispering when he teaches. But his life is exemplary in worship now more than just a song, what he used to sing. How many of you know most of us would be shattered if the tool that we were given, that which was a gift or the path that was given to us, was taken away from us. We'd lose all sense of capability. But he still travels the world, still teaches on the topic of worship, and still writes. So he's finding any way to be able to communicate his worship and help worshipers to worship God. I just thought that was powerful because it challenged me as a worship leader, because I remember at a certain time in my faith that I was being challenged of the idolatry of worship. I actually used to worship. And the test of that was when I would see Bob Sorge stand in front of people and teach and see him communicate the word of God with this whisper, but doing anything that he had within his strength. He has to have all sorts of crazy vocal rest and stuff, but he still pours his life out to teach people to worship. And so he wrote this book called Secrets of the Secret Place. I wanted to just start with a quote from him. When we're describing what the secret place is, he says, "The secret place is your portal to the throne, the place where you taste heaven itself." That's something worth fighting for. When we talk about the secret place, it means it's hidden, right? You can't see it. So a lot of what we've been talking about, the imagery around the series called Dug Down Deep, is talking about the part of our Christianity that is unseen. That is unseen. I grew up in a church where what is seen is very important. What is seen in terms of my Christianity, because I was a pastor's son, a Samoan pastor's son. So a lot of the pedestal ministry that would happen because I was a pastor's kid, I had to appear like everything was all good. But it wasn't until I learned that what mattered most about my Christianity is the health of my Christianity that was unseen, my relationship with God that was unseen. Interesting to note, the Hebrew word that describes this hiding place or the secret place is the word "see there." Everybody say "see there." See there. Turn to somebody and say, "Well, I see there." Especially if you're single and you need help. I'm just being biblical. See there, which literally means to hide or to be concealed. To hide or to be concealed. Now, my kids love to play hide and seek from time to time. Tina was at with a number of our sisters that were here that are part of this church. They were down celebrating. Some of them are still down there in Melbourne. Talitha's wedding, we celebrate with them. Talitha and Mike were married down in Melbourne, so they were down there. So I was on daddy duty this week. Shout out to Sweet, my friend there, who was helping, and some of you that were helping us to take care of the kids. But anyway, on Thursday and Friday, I was on Lone Ranger duty. I was by myself with the kids, and that's always dangerous, especially regarding their diet. I went to Coorong and bought some books for them after school, and then I was trying to think, what can we have for dinner tonight? And I'm trying to keep it healthy, you know, trying to do the healthy thing. So I'm like, "Oh, Subway again, Dad." And so I was like, "Okay." And suddenly the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart, and I noticed around the corner from Coorong in Springwood was the blue and yellow IKEA. And I was just like, "Man, Lord, I have an IKEA. Now I have an idea. Let's go to IKEA." And we went to IKEA. Now, the dangerous thing about IKEA is, how many of you have ever been to IKEA? Right? You go to IKEA, and we just went to eat. All I wanted to do is eat and leave. How many of you know you can't eat and leave? You have to go through this maze of furniture, showrooms, like 2-foot apartments that have everything inside them, the washing machine, fridge, and, you know, living room inside, like, little tiny box. Make me miss Asia, for those of you who lived in Asia. in apartments and stuff. So I was just like walking through. But the hard thing about going to IKEA with my kids is my son, and I've talked about my son a fair bit. But my son, who he has special needs. He has autism, right? So he's not fully verbal yet, but in the name of Jesus. So like he won't talk to anybody, but he loves to play hide and seek, and he loves to play hide and seek in IKEA. It's the worst place to play hide and seek. The problem is I didn't know we were playing. He just started the game, you know, just off he goes, and he's like hiding, and I'm like walking around and some of you follow me on social media. I was playing the pun game with my, you know, like this. So we walk around IKEA, and all the words are in Swedish. So we would try to find English sentences. So like one of the beds was called MALM. And then I said, like, filmed my daughter, "What? Who's this bed for?" It's for my mom. You know, like, we're ha, 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 dad joke. You know, like, we're walking around just doing all of this. I only noticed two of my kids. One of my kids was gone, and he was the one that doesn't talk, you know. So I'm like, he had found the secret place. He had found so many hiding places in there. I was afraid that, you know, I was going to be taken by social welfare because my son had built his own furniture and found himself a place to hide. He loves IKEA. He loves to hide in IKEA. But the thing about my son, probably better than all of us in our family, right, Tina? I don't know. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Is that he has the best sense of direction out of all of us. Like, I don't need Google Maps when he's around. He's just like, you know, like he knows his way around. He's the one I'm concerned about the least because he knows how to make it home. He knows how to get where he needs to go to. He may not talk much, but he has an inner compass. I really believe it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, actually, that guides him to get to wherever he needs to go, even though, you know, I start balding when he starts doing that because I'm so stressed out. But my point is, like, my son, number one, he loves to hide. And number two, he always knows how to find his way back home. That's a lot of the way that God wants our Christianity to be, is he loves for us to come to the hiding place where he is. Often at times, you know, like Jim LaFoon was here about a month ago, and he was talking about how sometimes God will not necessarily hide himself completely away from us, but hide himself in the way that where he can be pursued, so that you'll just press in a little bit more just to be able to find him in that secret place. I need you to understand this truth, and I'm going to repeat it again, that intimacy produces fruitfulness. Intimacy produces fruitfulness. Everybody say that with me. Intimacy produces fruitfulness. I'll come to that point in a while. I just want to touch on this scripture again. In Psalm 139, it says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place." I have another one of my kids who shall remain nameless. Okay, it's not Zion, but I won't tell you who it is. But this particular child of mine is terrible at hide and seek. Always leaving a leg out, wanting to be found. And then when I walk in the room where they're hiding, you can hear. And then I walk in the other direction of the room. Wrong. You're wrong, Dad. You're wrong. You're going the wrong way. I'm not telling you which child this is, but God will sometimes make it a little bit harder for us to find him in order that we would press in to find him. But sometimes he wants to test us as to whether we value him and give him the value that he truly deserves. How many of you know he is infinitely valuable? He is infinitely valuable, but he desires to have our focus upon him. Now, check this out. My frame was not hidden from you. I'm going to keep this PG. I know we've got a lot of the young people in here. When I was made in the secret place. I'm just going to say this phrase, and then we're just going to leave it there, right? You were made in the secret place. You tracking where I'm going so I can leave this point and move on? I'll say it one more time, just so I'll just read the Bible. You were made in the secret place, and you were great. You were made in the image of God. Great things are made in the secret place. God births new things in the secret place. See, intimacy with God in the secret place produces fruitfulness. Let's look at an example of this. Now, I'm going throughout the Bible. We'll camp in Psalms for a little bit, but I wanted to give you some meat to chew on with regards to this theme. Now, looking at Exodus chapter 33, and this is when Moses is meeting with God. And Moses says in verse 18 of Exodus 33, Moses says, please show me your glory. Now, what does God say? God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you that my name is the Lord, Yahweh, in the Hebrew. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. That's how glorious he is. That's how magnificent he is. See, we all love the sun. We live in the sunshine state of Australia. And we love being able to see things that are visible because of the fruit of what we live in as the sun shines upon us. But if you were to stare long enough at the sun, your eyes would cease to function the way that they're supposed to function because it's too bright. Now multiply that by infinity with regards to the creator of that sun, and that's how bright his glory is. You can't see him. He is that pure. He is that holy. He is that righteous. But I love how Moses has that yearning. I want to see your glory. And he basically uses that line, that Jack Nicholson line from A Few Good Men. The truth, you can't handle the truth. My glory, you can't handle my glory. But look, notice what the Lord says here. Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I'll take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. God still wants to honor this pursuit that Moses has to be able to see God. How many of us would be like, okay, God, I guess I should be like Moses, show us your glory. And God says, well, you can't handle it. You'll be like, oh, okay, thanks. See you later. Now Moses is like, man, I'm desperate to see your glory. I want to see you. I'm hungering for your presence. I can't live without your presence. I need to press in to this hiding. And God says, okay, there's a hiding place in this cleft of the rock. You won't be able, I'm going to cover you. You won't be able to see my face, but you'll see my back. And that should be enough for you to know that I'm there, pursuing me in the secret place. I'm reminded of C.S. Lewis. How many of you have read or even seen the movie of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Right, the four kids are in this house, right, and they're playing hide and seek again. And then anybody here remember who the first kid is that steps into the wardrobe to hide? It's too much Fast and Furious. You need to watch some good wholesome movies. Now, Lucy, thank you. And so Lucy is hiding in the wardrobe, and then she's like hiding amongst the coats. She's found the perfect hiding place, but she presses into the hiding place and starts to notice, oh, it's cold in here. And then she looks down at her shoes and finds out, man, I'm in snow. She enters into a new world. And there's a whole new world that God wants you to enter into. Of course, all of that new world is an allegory for the world of sin, but Aslan, who represents Jesus Christ, is the ruler of that new world. And that's what the author C.S. Lewis is trying to show us. If you press into the hiding place, you'll see the spiritual realm of how Jesus is still in charge. Jesus is still on the throne if you'll just put your trust in him. If you'll press beyond the fur coats. But a lot of us just like won't even go there into that secret place, into that shelter of the Most High. Some of you may be looking at me like, okay, you've talked a lot about us hiding in the secret place. What's the point though? Are there any benefits to being there? I'm glad you asked. Here's where we go in with this. Psalm 91, and many of you know where I'm going because some of you have memorized this passage here. Psalm 91, I want to encourage you with it today. Here's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. He or she who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, El Elyon in the Hebrew. The Most High meaning the most elevated one, but also the most excellent one, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Look, if he is Almighty, how many of you know that shadow covers everything? But our reliance on God is what determines how much we trust his shelter. We need to be fully reliant on God. F-R-O-G. We need to frog it out. Like we do at Silverbacks, right? We need to frog it out. You know, like fully reliant on God. How reliant on God are you? Because it determines the nature of the shelter that is visible above you. Are you under that shelter? Or is your prayer life like this little umbrella, right? This is my shelter. He who abides in the, who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. First of all, this isn't Most High. This is kind of close to my head. Will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Does this umbrella look almighty to you? Right? My legs getting wet. It's definitely not a Psalm 1 size umbrella. I'm just saying. Probably when I was 6, but not now. It's not covering anything. And it's not the umbrella's fault. It's your perspective of the umbrella. If he is almighty, then he will cover everything that you may be walking through. It's not that God is not almighty. It's your ability to trust and fully rely on God that determines the nature of the shelter. But so many of us, this is our prayer life. This is our ability. Sorry, I was just trying to make a point. I went too hard. But this umbrella represents the way we trust God. We trust him this much. Umbrella quiet times. I love it. What it says here, Psalm 91. I will say to the Lord. Lord meaning boss, ruler. One-to-one says, the one who calls the shots, right? I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Any of you had some fowlers pursuing you recently? It may not be actual people, although some of you may have had actual people pursuing you. But when you are under the shelter of Almighty Daddy, nothing can touch you. Some of y'all need to remember that song back in 1990. Thank you, Benny. Because when you're under the shelter of the Most High, like my voice just cracked, hi. Nothing can touch you. Can't touch this. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you. Everybody say, he's going to cover me. Turn to somebody and say, he's going to cover you with his pinions. That's a word you use every day, right? With his pinions. Not opinions. His pinions. His wings. He's got you, man. Under his wings, will you find refuge? And his faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. I don't know what a buckler is, but it sounds hardcore, man. So I had a few buckles in my time. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, by the Spirit of God. There are people in this room that have been battling fear and terror by night and by day. You walk around and you're like, I'm not sure if God's going to come through. I'm not sure if God is going to cover me. And our perspective is like this little umbrella. We think, oh, I hope this comes through. I hope this is going to cover me. God's saying, your perspective of God is wrong. He is almighty. He is all powerful. He is omniscient, which means he knows everything. He's not like we say in Psalm 1. He's not fiapoko. He's not bots. He's not. Like, oh, I know. How many of you have had relatives that have said, oh, you know, they know everything. Oh, I know everything about that. Especially like uncles. How many of you have an uncle? Hopefully you aren't the uncle, right? I used this man back in my day, son. I tell you, Aunt Ellie, I could have been an All Black. I could have played the winger for the All Blacks. I tell you, man, I fasted in those guys over there. Sonny Bill. I'm faster than Sonny Bill. I'm the best wing ever. I'm like, yeah, you ate too many chicken wings. This way you're not going to be a wing. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. For those of you who have been battling fear, allow the perspective of God to change, to transform. And press in to seek his face. Don't allow circumstances. See, if you don't press in, other things will press you. If you don't press in to the presence of God in the secret place, you better believe that other things are going to press you. There's a reason why when you watch the news, the only thing they'll say that's good is right at the beginning and the end. They'll start the news, right? Good evening. And then everything is bad.
motorway crash here, stock market crash there, relationship crash here with a celebrity, marriage crash. It starts with good evening, and then at the end, good night. That's the only thing they say that's good. The whole way through the news, everything's lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. And all of that stuff is pressing up against your spirit. And if you're not under the shelter of the Most High, believing the word of truth that we find in God rather than the facts that the media and the gossip and that uncle that keeps saying he'll play for the All Blacks keep pressing on you, you will start to feel that pressure. How many of you know about that pressure? Some of us in this room are battling that pressure right now as we walked in here. I'm glad you walked in here. Not because of this location, guys. Not because of QMC. But because we as a community of faith, we as a church, are under the shelter of the Most High, we have come here to worship. We have come here to praise God. And it's more than just a song. That's why some people walk in here and they go, oh, I thought you guys do the singing at the beginning. Why do you do it at the end? Is it because I come late and then you can see me? Because I like it in other churches when the worship's at the beginning so that I can sneak in because the lights are down. And I just... That's not the reason we do it, by the way. But like I said last week, come on time. But the whole reason that we do this is because as we respond to the beauty of the nature of how God covers us, it prompts us to want to worship Him. It drives us towards an appreciation. I mean, appreciation is an understatement as to how we throw ourselves in worship to God. It's not just singing. It's being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. Based on this verse, based on these verses, I'm giving you three benefits right here. The first benefit, obviously, that we see is that we will not fear the terror of the night, or nor the arrows that fly by day, because we're covered. We're protected when we're sheltered. Turn to somebody and encourage them. You are protected when you're sheltered under the Most High. Now, in India, in Pune, India, this is the largest umbrella ever constructed. It was constructed, interestingly enough, it was made in China, then flown to India. The two most populous nations in the world made the biggest umbrella in the world. And it actually covers, I think it's magnificent, it actually covers this mountain, freeway, sorry, in Pune, India. And I just thought it made my umbrella look pretty pathetic. But how many of you know, like, even that umbrella is pretty pathetic when you are in the... Think about how protective, how sheltered you are. How many of you know, if you stand right in the middle on that umbrella, there's nothing can touch you, right? You won't even get little sprinkles or anything on your feet because you're covered. And again, that umbrella is not even minute. It's like practically non-existence to the cover that God gives us under the shelter that we find in that secret place, that resting place. Let's go to the New Testament and talk a little bit about what's done in that secret place. And many of you remember this in Matthew chapter 6, right? We read about giving, praying, and fasting. And you find in all three of these examples that Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching his most prominent sermon at the time, probably his most prominent sermon, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And he teaches them about giving and praying. That's where we read about the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. If you grew up in church, we would have heard it. The Lord's Prayer teaches them how to pray. And then he talks about fasting. But in each of those three things, he talks about the secret, the importance of being things that are done in secret. And what does he say here in verse 3? But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Like, oh, I didn't know you did that. So that your giving may be in secret. Now, check this out. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So not only does the secret place provide shelter for us and covering for us, but the secret place also provides rewards for us. We are rewarded in the place of the unseen. Lastly, we're going back to where we started. We started in Psalm 27. I'll just quote verse 4 one more time. If you remember, I preached on this a month ago.
And we're talking about one thing that I ask, that which I have seeked after, that I will seek after, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon his beauty and inquire in his temple. How many of you remember that? So you dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. You stay there. You fight to stay under that shelter. Some of us need to understand that. To enter into his presence, it's a constant fight. How many of you know that? Like, there's so many distractions, so many things that'll try to vie for our attention, that'll take our attention off of God and put them on other things outside the umbrella of his presence. And what God is saying, you got to keep seeking after it. Through the servant David, right? One thing that I ask, that which I will seek after, which means that he's still striving to stay in the presence of God, that I will seek after, that I may dwell, which means to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty. So you fixate your gaze upon him. Gazing is different from glimpsing, right? When you gaze at something, it has the ability to draw staring from you. And there's so many of us like that are looking at other things that begin to distract us from gazing upon God and inquire in his temple. Now verse 5 says, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. We're talking about tents versus luxury hotels. I'm sorry, I'm a luxury hotel guy. He will lift me high upon a rock. Now upon my head, and now on my head shall be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. I'm telling you, man, when you're in the place of shelter with Daddy, it stirs up joy. There's no, in his presence, Psalm says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy, complete joy. And a lot of the joy that we're trying to seek through our jobs, through our careers, through financial provision, through that relationship that you're walking through, that joy that you're trying to seek in that, you will never find fulfillment, the fulfillment that God wants to bring your way, until you trust him, until you bring yourself in a place where he is magnified and glorified in the shelter of the Most High. It stirs up within you a joy that projects itself in a song. Now, some of us may say, oh man, I'm not a songwriter, Pastor Nelly. I don't sing. It stirs up within us a response, knowing that Daddy loves you. The Bible tells us, man, like while we were yet sinners, he still died for us. And that we have the ability to love because he first loved us. And when you're in that environment of love, and my prayer is that anytime we get together in this church here today, I need you to understand there is no fulfillment outside of the presence of God. No fulfillment. You can't have a little umbrella as your God. Your God is way too big. It's either you trust him fully or you don't trust him. And God wants you to trust him. It's a wrestle constantly to trust him. And so even today, some of you need to bring those areas. I want to invite you to bring those areas that you've been really in conflict with, whether I really do trust God in that specific area. The last point, the last benefit is that we become joyous when we're afflicted. We see that in the gospel. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, right? We look to Jesus. We gaze upon him. We fix our eyes upon him. The founder and perfecter, the NIV says, the author and the finisher of our faith. Like if he started something, he's going to finish it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at this. Joy. Cross. When you think about a cruel death upon a wooden cross, the shame that's associated with it, how many of you would say it would not be far-fetched to say that the first word that comes to mind is not joy? Am I right in saying that? Yeah. Like when you see the cross and you see this wooden cross that was used as a tool of execution and humiliation, that you were to be nailed to that cross after walking a certain distance uphill with barely any clothes on, being whipped after being whipped, and then you're being spat on by this crowd, and you look upon that cross, and you're like, joy. And you're nailed to that cross. The first word that comes to mind is not joy, right? How many of you know Jesus wasn't happy necessarily at the time, but he was joyful? But the joy was not necessarily the circumstance that he was in. The joy that he was talking about was seeing every single one of us in this room set free as sons and daughters of the living God. And that's what took him over the top. He was like, man, my body is screaming out in pain, but it's going to bring me so much joy to see you saved, delivered, and healed, and brought into a place of being sheltered in my love. That's what brings me joy. And the whole time that Jesus took upon that cross on himself, he was sheltered under the covering of the Father.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.